Well, good morning again. And as we come to God's Word this morning, this is our annual time to share vision, to cast a reminder of our vision, because the vision doesn't seem to change, nor should it. As we come into this year ahead, it's always a challenge to know where God wants us to go and how He wants us to approach certain things. And normally I would come and give a theme for the year and tell you what the teaching is going to be for the whole year. I'm going to talk about the theme and a little bit about the teaching. I don't know all the teaching yet. I don't have it all figured out. And even in those years when I do have it all figured out, it tends to change. And things happen and life changes and things go on and we change with the leading of the Spirit as we need to. But we are going to be going into Hebrews in the fall. We're going to hunker down in the book of Hebrews for all of the fall leading up to our Advent season. And I'm excited by that, and I think you will get excited by that. It's going to be just a great study. So dust off your Bibles. If you're not bringing them to church, bring them to church. If you got to use that electronic version, I guess that's okay. But something about paper, something about underlining, something about highlighting. I would like to encourage that as much as possible. But before I get into the theme for the year, which you can actually see the name behind me, so it's not going to be a big mystery, I just want to tell you that it's been an amazing year at Leduc Fellowship Church. And amazing means a lot of different things. Amazing can be amazingly good or amazingly hard, and the answer to which one has it been for us, it's yes, both. A lot of great things are happening around here, and God is doing stuff in people's lives. And yet we've walked a hard road with many people this last year as we walk in community with each other, and we continue to do so. We've baptized lots of babies, or not, I always say that. We baptized lots of people and dedicated lots of babies. Just keep it straight. We are still in that role. We have prayed for a lot of people. We have buried a lot of loved ones. We have walked the road of sickness and urgency and death, physical illness, mental illness, psychological illness, emotional illness, and we'll continue to do all those things. Last week alone, we had a great baptism, great stories of two young ladies coming to Christ in very different ways and yet coming to Christ and showing publicly that that's the case. We prayed over Ron last week and his family, because if you weren't here and haven't heard, Ron has been diagnosed with stage 4 prostate cancer, and we want to be there for you, Ron. We're going to be there for you, but last week we were able to be there for him. I know there are a number of you in this room who are struggling physically, or you're struggling alongside loved ones who are struggling physically, emotionally, spiritually. And we want to continue to do those things. So when we summarize the year of a church, and if you read the article that we wrote in there for the elders and staff, I quoted from the song Seasons of Love from the musical Rent. How do you sum up a year? Well, I list a lot of things we've done in there. And I could have kept going, but I just kept listing these things. All the events, all the caring, all the loss, all the hurt, all the joy, all the celebration. That is how, as a church body, as the body of Christ in a local congregation, you sum up and celebrate a year. Some of the stuff we did this year, we wish we didn't. We wish we didn't have to do it. And yet, we are glad we could walk alongside those who hurt. A lot of the things we get to do, we're excited that we can do. I had a number of people tell me this week, I love our church. When we put a need out, we get it taken care of. That people come together to serve one another, to pray for one another, to be there. And I love that about who we are. But with the good comes the bad, and with life comes life. I often say that it's kind of a hard time, because usually it seems like whenever we have to announce a death, we also get to announce a birth. And I never know how to do those announcements so they don't sell one short. But what we've come to realize here at Leduc Fellowship Church is that that's just how you do life. When you do life, you have the good and the bad. When you have family, you have the good and the bad, and you walk it through together. I want to thank all those of you who are part of that. And that is the vast majority of you in this room who serve each other one way or another. Some of you are in leadership positions. Some of you are in service positions. Some of you are, most of us are just servants. Where we just love coming alongside people. And I appreciate that. I appreciate our ministry leaders and I appreciate our servants, every one of you. We could not do what we do without you. And I don't say this in any way feeling bad, but you know, for a church our size, we have a pretty small staff. And I was telling Pastor Dustin, I read an article this week that said growing churches tend to be churches that are understaffed because things grow and you can't keep up with it. But primarily, the reason that growing churches are understaffed is that they are places where the volunteers do the vast majority of the work. And we fit into that category. So I'm proud of you. I can brag about this place all day long. Are we perfect? No. Have we got all of our ducks in a row? No. Are we working towards that? Sure. Are we trying to make it better? Always. But am I proud of what we do with what we have? You bet. And I want you to be proud of what we accomplish for what we have. Now you can look at the things that are broken, but I want you to think about the things that are working. I want you to think about the things that make a difference in people's lives. I want you to focus on that. Our theme for the year coming up is build community. And the unity is highlighted for a reason. That wasn't a mistake. I figured you'd probably figure that part out. But community happens through intentional unity. And unity happens through intentional community. And over this year, we are going to focus on those things. How do we build continued community together? How do we stay united in those things? How do we walk together? How do we hurt together? How do we find joy together? How do we celebrate together? We need to continue to strive to make that happen. As we continue to grow, things change. And some people, I've been told, don't like change. Anybody here not like change? None of us like certain changes. But we have to make the change to continue with the growth. We have to make the change to figure out how to do life differently than what we used to do. Because when we were 30, 40, 50, 60 people, we could function very differently than when we were 4, 5, 600. And you may say, well, there's not that many people in this room, but this church regularly ministers to close to between 5 and 600 people on a regular basis. But those are the people that would call themselves part of this community. So we need to guard our unity with everything we have. Because the enemy does not want to see fruit in God's kingdom, and therefore the enemy will do whatever it can to stop it. And I have found in my history that one of the easiest ways for the enemy, Satan himself, to get a foothold into the community of God is through division and lack of unity. Discord. That doesn't mean we can't disagree. It just means we have to be unified in how we do things. And I want to challenge us to be mindful of that. A few years back when Hannah, my oldest daughter, was in university, she had a class on leadership, and she had to interview a leader and write a paper on him. And I think I may have shared this before, but I was very humbled by the fact that she said, "Dad, I want to choose you. But since I know you, I don't want to interview you. I just want you to kind of, you know, write the answers to these questions." So she sent me a bunch, and I wrote the answer, and I sent it back to her. Forgot about it. And then a few months later, she asked me if I wanted to read it, and she had gotten it back. And I read it, and I may have shared this with you before, but it's worthy of sharing again. Of all the things I answered, of all the many questions she asked, she summarized things this way. And she said, "My dad has learned one thing in leadership, that sometimes you have to sacrifice for the part for the whole. Sometimes you have to choose what is not right for one piece to make sure the whole thing works and stays healthy." And when I look for leaders, when I look for leaders who can come alongside us in our different ministries, one of the things I look at regularly is somebody that can say, "This may not be what I want or what is right for me or my family, but it's what is right for the church as a whole." And I'm thankful that we have leadership at the top level of our elder board who stands there and looks at things that direction. We do not have a single person on our elder board who would say, no, I can't vote for that because it's not right for my family if it is what is right for the church as a whole. And that's hard. Because most of us want what's right for me and for my family, for those closest to me. But true leadership is saying what's right for the task that we've been given. And our task is to walk intimately with God and to invite others to journey with us. That is our mission statement. That's what we strive to do every day. So we have to make decisions that are hard decisions, but are right for helping people walk intimately with God and to help others journey with us. So I want to make sure that we walk in continued unity, that Satan does not get a foothold, because it's huge, people. It's not just somebody not getting their preference or somebody getting their preference. When we walk in unity, it assures fruit for God's kingdom. And when we walk in disunity, we poison the vine. And I'll tell you, if there's anything you do not want to stand before God and have to answer for someday, there's a lot of things. But if there's one that would be on top of my list that God would say, you brought disunity to my body. You tore up my church, my bride. You soiled my bride. I hope I never have to answer to that. I'm sure I'll have to answer for some things I didn't do right and decisions I didn't make in the right way. But I hope it's never that I have to stand there and say I intentionally tried to break up the body of Christ. And I would hope that for each one of us here as well. There's joy in walking in unity. There's joy in walking with people who are different than you. And yet we can walk together. And we've said this. I know I've said this before, and I'll say it again. You look around this room, we are a messed up bunch of people. How many times? You get tired of hearing that from me? But folks, look around. Don't be weird about it. Everybody just look around. Look. Yeah, you don't have to go very far. Just look right next to you, behind you, in front of you. Just look like everybody's, you know, we're not you, him, you know. But we're all messed up. We're all hurting. We're all broken in some way. And we're all striving to work together for the good of God's kingdom. And that is, if nothing else, is a testimony to who God is. That we can be that different and that broken and that messed up. And we can work together. I know it's not easy sometimes. I know it's hard sometimes. But when you read the scripture, you really don't have a leg to stand on than to try everything possible to walk in unity. I want to read to you 16 verses from chapter 4 of Ephesians today. This passage has become kind of a theme for me over this last year in lots of different ways. But Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 16. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It was he, Christ, who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, or shepherds and teachers, as some versions would say, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up, until we all reach unity in the faith and in knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. This is an amazing passage of unity and yet diversity. That Paul is laying out the fact that we are called to walk in unity, and that no matter what happens, we are called to keep the unity through the bond of peace. The unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. That we're called to make sure that we're humble and gentle with one another, and that we speak the truth in love, and that each one doing its own part builds up the church, equips the saints, supports the body, that the church may be built up, that we may reach unity in the faith, that we may have the full knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole fullness of the measure of Christ. What's the purpose of walking in unity together? That the church can exist as many different parts, making one difference for the world that we live in. That we could have unity, that we would know Christ, that we would know him fully, that we'd become more and more and more and more and more like him. And each one of us is faulty in looking like him. Each one of us is faulty in serving him. Each one of us is faulty in the call that we've received, and yet we're called to live a life worthy of the calling that we've received. And some of you are trying to figure out that calling. Others of you know what it is. Others of you are thinking maybe it's changing. Maybe God's calling me to something different. Doesn't matter. But whatever God has called you to, he says, live worthy of that calling. A calling from God is not something to sneeze at. A calling from God is something to take seriously in your own life and in the lives of those that you walk with. So as we walk into this year, I want this idea of building community, building unity, to be something that we are very intentional about. Not because everything's falling apart, but because if we don't watch it, it will begin to crumble. The smaller we are, the easier it is to stay in touch with everybody and to know how everybody's doing. The bigger we get, you won't know everybody. Simple fact. If you're sitting here saying, I don't like the size of this church because I can't know everybody, then I'm sorry. Just the way it is. You're not going to know everybody intimately. The goal is everybody known intimately by somebody? Is everybody cared for? Is everybody touched? Is everybody reached? Is everybody cared for? As long as we do those things well, then that's what we're called to do. And each one of us has a part in that. And I get embarrassed and go through this place and point to different ones of you and say, this is the gift I see in you. I don't know what you see in yourself, but this is what I see in you. But I could go down through almost every one of you, the ones I know, and say, here's what God has gifted you for. Here's how God is using you. And when that happens, the enemy doesn't like it. He wants that foothold in the door to bust it open and to start messing up things. So folks, we have a lot of already set things we can do to build unity. We're going to continue to build on those things. A little thing called Coffee Break Sunday. I know some of you don't like it. I'm sorry. I really am sorry you don't like it. But it's a great way for people to get to know people. I'm not trying to sound cold. It's just the way it is. Some of you don't like it. But share, eat, talk. Get to know some people. We have our clusters where you can get to know people closer to home, where they live in your neighborhood or in your area of the county or town. Get to know these people. Get to know your neighbors who also go to church with you. We have things that we don't promote very much, but we need to more and better promote life change groups. And there are a lot of them happening. Three or four people getting together, three or four guys or three or four women getting together and sharing life together, reading scripture together, holding each other accountable to that, holding each other accountable to prayer for the things in their lives that need prayer, and being held accountable to care for those in their life that don't know Christ. We don't manage them. We just say, do them. We'll make sure we keep talking about that. We need to talk about it better, but that's another thing. We have ministries at different segments of our congregation by age or by gender that allows a place for connectedness. Our men's ministry, our women's ministry, our children, our youth, our young adults, our seniors all gather according to their ages. Lots of opportunity for those in between, young adults and senior, to get together in other ways through clusters and life change groups, men's groups, women's groups. And it's exciting to see when I walk into the men's group. They don't let me come to the women's stuff. But when I come into the men's group and I see these guys just truly caring for each other and lifting each other up. To see every age group caring for that age group. But also to see over this last year, people across the generational boundaries caring for one another. I love when I see an older person pouring into a younger person or a younger person encouraging an older person. Don't think you can only hang out with your age group. Hang out with anybody you want to. Get to know people. We are going to have a Sunday where alternate rows, we're going to ask you to switch to the other side of the sanctuary. Amen, Margaret, right? Because everybody sits in the same spot, and if we say everybody switch sides, you're still going to be sitting with everybody you know. So we're going to have to do alternate rows. So I'm not going to tell you what week that's going to be, because you might just say, okay, you sit in three, I'll sit in seven, and we'll get to sit together. No, we're not going to play mind games, but we need to sit with people we don't sit with and just say hi. You may not be their best friend, but just get to know people. A couple things we're going to do this year, a couple things we already have coming up. July 1st is a Sunday. How dare they plan that? The government messing up everything, putting July 1st on a Sunday. There's a parade in town. How many people go to the July 1st parade, the Canada Day parade? Well, we're going to meet here. We're going to meet for a short service. We're going to sing a few songs. We're going to pray for our country. We're going to say, go to the parade. Come in your parade wear, ready to go. Have your little wagon loaded, ready to go. I wish it came by here, but it doesn't. But we'll get you out there in plenty of time. Stone Barn Sunday. The August long weekend, we do the Stone Barn Sunday. And folks, this year, Dustin, Pastor Dustin, he's excited, has arranged for the hop food truck to be there. So you don't have to bring a picnic lunch. You can stay and eat good burgers and hot food. And that's exciting. And we encourage you to stick around. Then we've planned as a staff a couple other things. One is Christmas dessert. We haven't done that in a few years, but we think it's important to do a Christmas dessert to kick off our Advent season, to walk as a whole community together as we walk into the Advent season. And then the Saturday or the Friday, one or the other before Palm Sunday, we're going to have another all family gathering where we get together to kick off Holy Week as we walk into that Easter celebration a week away. Those are just a few smaller things we're trying to do, but anything you can do to create unity amongst yourselves is encouraged and promoted and supported. Love one another. Be encouraged by one another. Speak the truth in love to one another, but speak the truth in love to one another. Once again, don't take that as an opportunity just to blast and walk away. That doesn't work. But as we build community, we'll work intentionally to make sure that unity continues. As we have unity, we make sure that community continues to build. And it's a beautiful picture of what we get out of this. We reach unity in the faith and in knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by its cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, every piece of the body, every part, every giftedness, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. That's what we gain. If we do it, if we don't, we lose fruit for the kingdom. We allow the body of Christ to fumble through and fall and drop and not do what it's called to do. And as I said before, not only do we not bring the best fruit for the kingdom, when disunity comes into the body of Christ, it's as good as pouring poison at the base of the plant itself. And we will have to answer for that. Now, I don't think we're there. I don't think we're even close to there. And I don't want to ever get close to that. So we're going to continue to work on community this year and build it up the best we can, love each other the best we can, walk with each other in good and bad times, hold each other up when we don't have the energy to stand, dust each other off when we fall and stumble. Just pray for one another as we have need to do so. I'm going to ask the worship team to come. I'm going to pray. We're going to sing one last song. And then I'm going to tell you what we're going to do for our coffee break Sunday this morning. And then we'll come back in a little bit for our business meeting. But let's pray as the worship team comes. Father, we come before you. And Lord, we would pray that we would continue to be a church that has unity through community. That, Father, we would be that place that strives hard to be intentional, understanding that when we work with imperfect people, as we all are, it is hard. It's difficult. It's not always a smooth road. And yet, Lord, I think that's what draws people's attention to you even more, is when broken people can work together for the common good. And that good not just being something small for our community, it's being fruit for the very kingdom of God. So allow us, Lord, to walk in unity as we walk in community. Allow us to be challenged in that. And Father, when we have differences, allow us to share it in love. Allow us to support each other through it. Father, when something is not my preference, allow me to forsake my preference for the good of the whole. Father, we just simply pray that you would allow us to be very intentional in each aspect of walking in life together. I thank you for my mixed up, broken, and hurting family here. I thank you that I get to walk with them day in and day out, and that they walk with me. Father, I would simply pray that you would just continue to allow us to reap the harvest of the fruit for your kingdom that comes through broken people walking in community and unity with one another. And I ask that in Christ's name, amen.